We're back today talking about pension systems. My name is Chris Gutowski, and we have a very, very special guest today, Professor Nicola Zabar from the London School of Economics, one of the leading experts on pension systems in the world. He has advised governments around the world, and is also the co-author of Pension Reform, A Short Guide. Today, we're going to be talking about non-financial defined contribution systems. Often, they're called NDCs. So just a quick question in general to start off. What are they, and how do they work?
Well, first of all, it's a pleasure to be back in Warsaw. I first came here in 1989, and it's been absolutely wonderful to see the progress since then. NDC pensions are a form of pension run by the state where the pension a person gets is fairly exactly related to their lifetime contributions. So someone who over their lifetime has earned twice as much as another person will get a pension that's twice as large.
Why do we have a welfare state in general? Why does that?
There is a view that says people should be free to make their choices, they can save for their old age, etc. The argument against that is that there have been multiple Nobel Prizes awarded this century for work explaining the circumstances in which private markets won't work well. For example, markets work well when people can make good choices. That requires that they're well informed. And there's a big literature on the economics of information that explains that in circumstances where goods are complex, people don't have the necessary information. There's a separate literature on behavioral economics which explains why people don't behave in the rational way that the simple economic model explains. And there's four or five other reasons why markets in some circumstances won't work well. So private markets work wonderfully where those conditions hold, smartphones, low-cost airlines, restaurants, cars, etc. But there are areas of complexity where private markets don't work well. And we have a welfare state because it does things that private markets would do badly or not at all.
And what role does good governments play in all of this?
Good government is essential. Where you have markets that don't work well, governments can intervene through regulation or subsidy or income transfers, but that depends on good government. So in many ways, when thinking about pensions, I think that there are different ways of designing pensions, and what matters less is the design of the pension than the quality of government. Countries with good governments can run pensions, very different types of pension systems well.
Any particular examples of the good examples that you just said?
Well, I mean, the NDC pension in Sweden and in Poland is one example of a good pension system. The Netherlands has got a completely different system. There is a non-contributory basic pension that goes to everyone over pension age, and then they have industry plans where workers contribute and the industry builds up a fund, and that fund then pays the pensions of workers. Canada has got a national system, but it's not the case that the contributions of workers this year are all paid out in benefits this year. Some of it goes into a fund that is used to pay future pensions. And they're all good systems, but they're all good systems largely because of good government.
And what are the other factors of what make NDCs particularly well? What are some of the good sides before we talk about some potential cons of it?
Politics in many countries is driven by short-term considerations.
Absolutely.
Pensions are a device to allow people to plan over their life course. So that means they ought to be run and reformed with a long-term view. That doesn't sit well with short-term politics. One of the advantages of the NDC design is it builds in automatic adjustment so that if in any one year contributions fall or the rate of wage growth goes down, then the amount of new pension that a worker accumulates goes down. So they adjust automatically. And another form of adjustment, the pension a worker gets when they retire is related to their remaining life expectancy. So as people live longer and longer, the pension you get at a given pension age will go down, which is designed to encourage people to work longer.
It's a very important point, right? Because people are living longer and longer, but retirement ages actually haven't gone up too much over the years. But coming back to potentially the limits of NDCs, what do the NDC system not solve on their own?
NDC systems give a worker a plan fairly exactly related to their lifetime income. If a worker has a low lifetime income, the NDC pension will be low. Pensions have multiple purposes. What economists call consumption smoothing is one. In other words, redistributing from yourself in your productive middle years to yourself when you've retired. And that's what NDC pensions do. But another purpose of pensions is poverty relief. You want to make sure that people have a secure old age. Now, NDC pensions don't do poverty relief. You need another element to do that. And that's why some countries with an NDC pension have a non-contributory pension that goes to everybody. And some, like Sweden, have a tax-financed element that is high for people with very low NDC pensions, but then gets reduced and eventually sort of gets tapered out altogether.
What about taking account caregiving? Because you mentioned that some people, for example, have lower income over some time. We know that in the case of women, sometimes they get hit by a triple whammy, right? That they are on maternity leave, parental leave, they live longer, et cetera, et cetera. How does that affect them?
Caregiving, bringing up a child, has costs. The question is, where do those costs fall? Now, one way to help caregivers is by giving them money at the time that the child is young. So child benefit is one example, or subsidizing childcare is another, to make it easier for the carer, usually the mother, to work. Or you can help with the costs of childcare by giving women a pension credit, so that for every year they spend in the home looking after a child, they get a credit to their pension account. You've got three instruments: child benefit, subsidized childcare, and pension credits. Different countries use them in different combinations. One can discuss which ones are more important in any particular circumstance, but all three are directly relevant.
Can you explain a little bit more about that pension credit one more time? How does that work?
Well, for example, in the British pension scheme, you get credited for each year of contributions you make. If you're not in the labor force, you're not paying Social Security contributions, but we have something called home responsibilities protection. For every year that a person, usually a woman, is not in the paid labor force, but is at home bringing up a child, it's counted as a full contribution year, even though she hasn't made contributions. So that means when she gets to retirement, if she's been in the labor force other than caring years, she's got a full contributions record and will get a full pension.
These topics are really important. You mentioned child benefit in Poland. That was a really, really important topic over the past 11 years. So, but moving on a little bit to the role of individual choice, what role do individual choice play in this system of NDC?
Individuals can make good choices where they have the necessary information: smartphones, low-cost airlines, restaurant meals. And they can make good choices even when they don't know everything they need to know if the costs of getting it wrong are not too high. So you go to a new restaurant, you don't have a very good meal, you don't go back there, you can spend the rest of your life going to better restaurants. Some things are too complicated for lay people to understand. In my country, in the UK, as in Poland, I'm not allowed to go into the pharmacy and buy any pharmaceutical drugs I like over the counter, opiates, antibiotics, etc. I need a letter from my doctor saying this is appropriate to my medical condition. Now, pensions, I think, are much more like pharmaceutical drugs than like smartphones. I was talking to my co-author and friend, Nobel laureate Peter Diamond, and we were saying, imagine we are 35 years old, we have a master's degree in finance, we're in an entirely voluntary world, and we want to work out what our optimal saving strategy should be. And we reached the conclusion, it's an impossible problem. There is so much uncertainty about the future: future earnings, when will I get married, how many children, what will their education and health experiences be. So it's a hideously complicated problem, even for people with master's degrees in finance, let alone for people who have other skills and other interests. And even where people do know what they need to know, often they don't do it. In the book that Peter Diamond and I are currently writing, we say people don't review their pension arrangements often enough. And then there's a footnote which says this is true of both of the authors of this book. We've got better things to do: writing books, in my case, watching cricket or spending time with grandchildren. The idea that most people can make good choices over their long run between their working years and retirement years is simply something that works brilliantly in simple economic models. But the moment you bring in information economics, behavioral economics, uncertainty, it's just too complicated a problem.
And in general, I think about pension systems to begin with, it's a topic that a lot of people don't think about until it's too late. That's unfortunately the case. A lot of people don't think about it. And then the years go by and then they start thinking about it, but maybe it was a little bit too late to think about that.
I'm at the grandparent stage of life. We got together with friends we've known since teenagers at a birthday party a couple of weeks ago. And we were saying to each other, we couldn't imagine being this old when we were teenagers together. I mean, people can't imagine what it's like to be older, and in a way, why should they? For me, a key principle of pensions is that if people want to make choices about pensions and retirement, the system should help them, but the system should work well for people who make no choice, and making no choice should be an entirely acceptable option.
Let's talk about a little bit of country comparison. Looking at different countries, there are different ways of structuring pension systems. What lessons do you think stand out?
The starting point should be to go back to the purposes of pensions. Poverty relief is one, redistribution to oneself over the life cycle, consumption smoothing is the second, a third is insurance. So when a person reaches retirement, ideally they should know they have a pension income for life so that their savings won't run out. Any well-designed pension system should address all three of those. It can be done in very different ways. Poverty relief can be done through a non-contributory pension that goes to everybody or that goes only to people with low pensions. The earnings-related pension can be done via NDC, can be done in different ways. I mean, in Canada, the pension you get is related to your lifetime average earnings over your working life. In the Netherlands, they have industry plans where the pension you get depends in part on your contributions record, but also on the performance of the pension fund. So there's many ways of doing these things.
I was going to say, regarding Canada, I think there's like a certain limit, the maximum you could get as a pension, and that most people have these private pension plans in Canada.
There is no social purpose in being interested in Bill Gates's pension.
Yeah.
The mandatory pension system, the system you must belong to, must be required to contribute to, should give you a quote-unquote decent living standard in old age. You can argue whether that's two or three times the national average. But beyond a certain point, people are rich. Social policy doesn't care about them. You don't require them to make additional contributions. And if they want to have additional pensions, they can do so either individually or through an industry plan.
Moving forward, do you see NDC systems becoming more widespread in the future?
What I see becoming more widespread is the automatic adjustment element of NDC. I mean, I think that's a very important element in it. There is a lot of theology about what NDC means. There's a lot of theology about what a universal basic income looks like. And I tend to keep away from theological debates about terminology. So the automatic adjustment to the performance of the pension fund, to economic conditions, to life expectancy, to the date, the age of the worker when they retire, I think that is very much a trend. Some of it we've done for many years. I mean, indexing pensions for price and wage change, that's very old. Indexing for life expectancy, NDC does, other systems don't, that will spread. So I think that's the key bit that's going to spread.
I'd like to add several short elements. First of all, many young people in Poland think that they would do better without a state public pension system. The main message, why do we need a welfare state, is crucial. If you want to understand it even better, you can read the books, also the Polish translation one of his main book, which I did, The Economics of the Welfare State. Second short point. Yes, the wealth of pensioners very much depends on good governments, but it mainly depends on their production size. Let me give a simple example. Sweden and Poland have almost the same pension system. NDC, the main element of pension systems in both countries, are the same, but the production size is different. And that is why, not because of the system, of the mechanism, but because of the size, what is produced or what can be consumed by old age pensioners is different. And that is why Swedish old age pensioners are more affluent than Polish. This is crucial to understand the main message.
This is an incredibly important point. People think you can raise pensions by printing money. money's colored bits of paper with portraits of national heroes on them.
Not a good
Pensions
idea.
Are interested in consumption, food and clothing and bus rides and tickets to the football and presents for grandchildren. Pensioners can consume only what workers produce but do not themselves consume. In countries where workers are highly productive like Sweden, there is more output and pensioners can consume more. So the focus on money blurs the argument. It's national output that's the key point.
Two more small elements. NDC. NDC delivers a clear message. I always explain it to young people. If you want to have a high pension, you should work and earn as much as possible and work as long as possible to retire as late as possible. Because it's a simple formula. All contributions you have earned throughout your life divided through your life expectancy. But my final message, people don't know it, don't accept it, and make bad choices. To retire early as possible, as most Poles do, is a very bad solution, a bad choice. So this is yet another example that you have a good system, a good mechanism, but still people are not properly informed and make bad choices. And that is why also we are important, academics, and also education is, literacy is so crucial.
Absolutely, absolutely. Professor Nicholas Barr, we want to thank you so much for taking your time out of your busy schedule to join us here today. We really, really appreciate it. We're really honored.
My pleasure. Before we switch off, can I add one more point
Absolutely.
For you to use or not use?
Of course.
When I talk about the limitations of choices by people, I don't want it to sound like a condescending remark by an elderly professor of economics. There's a story I always tell. A few years ago, I was asked to write a report on the Swedish pension system for their government. In Sweden at the time, workers were supposed to choose a pension fund from 800 pension funds, and workers who made no choice went into the default fund run by the government. The night before I launched the report, I was having dinner with two old friends, the person who ran the system and one of the key people involved in designing it. And I was saying to them, if I were a worker in Sweden, I wouldn't have a clue about choosing a good pension fund from 800. I'd be in the default fund. And they looked at me and they laughed, this person who ran the system and this person who designed it, and they said, we're in the default fund.
Yeah, absolutely.
Once again, thank you so much.
Pleasure.